Good evening, everyone. Well, tonight we are talking about faith, or what it means to walk by faith. Just a bit of an overview of where we're heading. We'll spend a little bit of time looking at an introduction about what is faith, looking at a few definitions, both good and bad. We'll look at the ancients, which are the people that we looked at in Hebrews 11, about how they walk by faith. We'll look at how God's promises are fulfilled in Christ, and then we'll look about what it means for us to walk in faith, looking at examples from the Hebrews 11 section. Before we get into it, how about I pray, and we'll ask God to help us understand his word. Lord God, we do pray that you will help us to get the most out of this passage. Help us to understand clearly what it means to walk by faith. Father, we pray that you'll clear our minds of all the other things that occupy it. Help us to focus and concentrate on your word. Help us to open our hearts to receive your message to us. Help us to listen clearly to what you say to us. Father, I pray you help myself to speak clearly and truthfully, and that at the end of tonight we'll have a better understanding of your word and what it means to walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Who knows what an echolocation expert is? Anyone? A dolphin? Not quite. Rob? Did you come this morning? No, you can't answer. Anyone else? No? An echolocation expert is someone who has the ability to see by sound rather than by sight. Oh, do you? Maybe after? Yep. Cool. Daniel Kish had both his eyes removed at the very young age of 13 months due to retinal cancer. Now in his mid-40s, Daniel is an echolocation expert. He uses sound to detect obstacles just like bats do. How does he do this, you may ask? Well, he has the ability of being able to recognise his surroundings simply by clicking his tongue and using the echo the click produces to determine where the objects are. And there's a really interesting clip, and hopefully we'll have a look at it later, of him being able to describe a vehicle with over his hand without touching it, what the vehicle looks like, or a building in the far off distance. He's able to pinpoint that it's a building that's got colonnades and balconies just by clicking and listening for the sound. He also teaches this skill to many other blind people all over the world. He and his students have even featured on TV mountain biking programs and skateboarding programs. In fact, mountain biking and hiking are some of his most common hobbies. Daniel Kish is someone who most certainly walks by sound rather than by sight, using his ears to see rather than his eyes to see. Well, we're going to look at something even more astounding than that. It's not seeing by, it's not walking by sight or sound, but rather walking by faith. But first, we need to understand exactly what faith is. So, what is faith? Well, if I typed faith into Google or Wikipedia, I would get a vast array of different definitions. So let's have a look at possibly some of the worst definitions of faith. Faith is trust, hope, and belief in the goodness or trustworthiness of a person, concept, or entity. Religious faith is belief in a transcendent reality, a religious teacher, a set of teachings, or a supreme being. Generally speaking, it is offered as a means by which the truth of the proposition, things will turn out well in the end. Sounds quite vague. Faith is a confidence or trust in a person or thing. And lastly, my favourite all-time worst definition of faith. Faith is a strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence. Sadly, there are many people that believe that that's all faith is. Something you have when you don't have proof or evidence. A bit like Charlie Brown's faith, or empty faith, in the Great Pumpkin. But in particular Christian faith, is so much more than this. How many people do you know in your school or workplace or friendship circles that have an empty faith? Sadly, we see many examples of this in our everyday life. So how do we, as Christians, define faith? Well, we know that the Bible is full of stories and examples of faith, some of which we'll look at in more detail in a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 defines faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is a good biblical definition of faith, and certainly better than some of the ones from Google. But I think that one of the best verses in the Bible to describe faith comes from Romans chapter 4. Just a bit of background first. Paul is teaching the churches in Rome about a righteousness that comes by faith and not by works, saying that Abraham was declared righteous, that is, right with God, by his belief or faith in God. Now, I particularly like the wording in the ESV translation of the Bible in the use of the phrase fully convinced. So in verse 21 in the ESV translation, Paul goes on to say that Abraham was fully convinced that God is able to do what he had promised. So I'm going to propose this will be our working definition of faith for tonight. And I'd also like us to consider expanding this definition just a bit further and say that the main point or big idea of the message is that a strong Christian faith is being fully convinced that God is able to do what he promises, glorifying God in all things and not getting sidetracked by the world. So let's unpack these great examples together and try and explore this big idea and what it means to have faith or to walk by faith. And as you do, try to keep that definition in the back of your minds, being fully convinced that God is able to do what he promises. The passages read out earlier from Hebrews chapter 11 gives us some amazing examples of great men and women of faith from the Old Testament of the Bible. These are excellent examples of God's people walking by faith and not by sight. Each give us their own unique and specific examples where they trusted God at his word. Even more than this, we see them demonstrating this trust through their actions, and as a result, we see the outworking of their faith. Slim Dusty was inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame in 1988, along with Joan Sutherland and AC/DC. In 2003, John Farnham was also inducted. And more recently, John Williamson, the singer, was also added to the list. You could say that Hebrews chapter 11 is the Bible's Hall of Fame. These are the people that we can look up to and model our Christian living on. They also help us to know how to walk in faith despite the circumstances that life places us in. Let's look together at two specific examples given in the passage. We'll start with Abraham, who would have been inducted into the Bible's Hall of Fame in approximately 2000 BC. And then we'll look at Moses, who possibly would have been inducted in the year 1500 BC. Abraham was a man chosen by God to become the father of many nations and the overseer of God's people. In Genesis 12 verse 1, the Lord told Abraham to leave his country and nation and go to a place where God would take him. The promise to Abraham was that God would make him into a great nation, and that his name would become great, and that all the people of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. What an amazing promise. And Abraham took the Lord at his word and believed that this promise would come true. So he walked in faith, knowing that God would do what he promised because he is faithful. Also, Abraham wasn't sidetracked by what was standing in the way of God's promise. You should already know the story, but let's look at the facts. Abraham himself was already very old, and Sarah, his wife, was far beyond childbearing age. In today's world, we consider it astounding if a lady has a baby well into her 40s. It's not unheard of, but it's certainly not common. Now imagine for a second that Yvonne had a word from God that she would have another child. That would be pretty amazing. Stunning. You wouldn't believe it. Now consider Sarah. She was much older than Yvonne, and she was 90 years old, more than twice the normal childbearing age, Yet despite this, Abraham didn't stop believing that he would be the father of many people and bless all the nations of the earth. Paul confirms this in Romans chapter 4 by saying, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God. That's a perfect example of walking by faith. The next example is Moses, who with enough faith and trust in God, let the people of Israel, God's chosen people, out of captivity in Egypt. Moses walked by faith as he trusted with full confidence that God would fulfill his promises also. Ultimately, through Moses, the Israelite people were led out of captivity and into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Moses, too, was not swayed by what stood in his way. He refused to walk by sight, and even though he was a terrible public speaker who spoke with faltering lips, God kept his promise, and Moses persuaded Pharaoh to release the captive Israelites. Like Abraham and Moses, there are many more examples of people who walked by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11 mentions a few more, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, David, and Samuel. Each of them also walked by faith and not by sight. And even more than this, the remaining books of the Bible are littered with positive examples that we can draw from. Yet God did not fulfill his promises to them in their lifetime. They continued to have faith in God even though they didn't see his promises come true. A great example of this is Sister Pearl Mittelhuser, who was an Australian Army nurse during World War II. She was working on the ship the Verne Brook when it sunk off the coast of Sumatra on the 12th of February 1942. 53 nurses managed to struggle ashore to Bunker Island, and over the next 3.5 years, the nurses were kept in prisoner of war camps in Japan. They experienced shocking living conditions and waited each day for the war to be over so that they could be rescued. By the time the Japanese surrendered on the 15th of August 1945, Pearl was one of 25 nurses who were still alive. She had survived 3 years of unimaginable suffering, witnessed the signing of the surrender, could see the promise of being released in the very near future, and yet she died 3 days later. Only 28 short days of being rescued and taken home to Australia. In the same way, every one of these Old Testament characters were waiting for God to come and fulfill his promises in sending Jesus. And yet everyone went to their grave with the promise of better things yet to come and without seeing Jesus for themselves. In the final verses of Hebrews chapter 11, we are left with a bit of a cliffhanger ending. It's not the kind of happy ending that you'd expect to see in most Hollywood movies. What we see in this blockbuster final scene is a list of men and women who didn't see the promises of God. Look at verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. What a letdown. It's a bit like the ending in the movie X-Men 3, The Last Stand, where in the final scene, Professor X dies, and shortly after, the credits start rolling down the screen, the end. But if you stayed in the cinema long enough, there was an additional scene after all the credits had finished which showed hope that Professor Charles Xavier was still alive. Well, here in Hebrews verse 40, we have a somewhat similar hint of hope to a better ending. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us, they would be made perfect. And we find this hope fulfilled in the first few verses of chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises to the Old Testament people and to us. God's promises are answered with a yes in Christ Jesus. Paul confirms this in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1 verse 20, where he states, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." The Bible has always been about Jesus. God's plan of salvation for the Israelite nation and the Old Testament people have always involved Jesus as the solution. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. Jesus is the Son of Adam, the Son of David. Jesus is the Son of God. Look at some of the verses early on in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." Or in John 4, verse 25. The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, that is the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Or in Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Just look again at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, because it's such an amazing verse. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you don't know who Jesus truly is, then perhaps today is the day to find out. No matter how much or how little we know about him, Jesus is the reason we choose to come here each day. Jesus is the reason we come here each week. Jesus is the reason why we continue to get out of bed each morning. Sin has separated us from God. Sin is all the wrong things that we do and the good things that we fail to do. Sin is putting created things above the Creator God. Essentially, it's replacing God as King with me as King. Nothing we can do can bridge the gap that sin puts between us and God. But God, in his mercy, has sent Jesus, his Son, to die the death we deserve so that we can be brought back to God. Jesus is the only person that can bridge that gap between us and God. If you don't have faith in Jesus, then your faith is as good as useless. Faith in possessions, faith in status, faith in your occupation, faith in your good works, and especially faith in yourself are all useless. You need to have faith in the living God and faith in the one he sent, Jesus. Okay, what do all these examples and passages from Scripture have to do with our faith in God? Well, for one, when you think back to the original definition of faith, being fully convinced that God is able to do what he promises, these stories and examples help us to become fully convinced in God. When we see God fulfill his promises to others, we become confident he will also fulfill his promises to us. One example of this is in Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, not to worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or wear. Why? Because we can see God at work in creation. God provides for the lilies and the birds, so how much more will he provide for us, his children? Why should you have faith in God? Well, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. Jesus' blood was shed for us. The ultimate sacrifice was made for us. So why wouldn't you have faith in God? Funnily enough, we are in a similar situation to the people in the Old Testament who were unable to see God's promises fulfilled. Yes, we can see now that God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus, but we are still unable to see Jesus for ourselves. We need to walk in faith, just like Abraham and Moses, trusting 100% in God and in his word. God gave all sorts of promises to his people in the Old Testament, and we can see from his word that these have all come true with the fulfillment of Jesus and what's recorded in the New Testament. But what about the promises that have yet to be completely fulfilled? Like the promises made to us as New Testament Christians, living after the resurrection of Jesus. Will these be fulfilled also? Let's take the next few moments just to look at some of the promises that God makes to us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, "For this is the reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." Or in James 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Or James 2, verse 5, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" Or 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "But keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." There's two more. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 2. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband." And finally, the words of Jesus himself in Revelation 22, verse 12. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." If you truly believe all of this, and like Abraham can say, "I am fully convinced that God will do what he promised me," then what would your life look like? Abraham was willing to believe God despite his circumstances. Are you? Or are there some things that you simply can't believe because of the way your life looks right now? Walking in faith means believing that with God, the impossible can happen. Perhaps you've been unwell for some time, or have been out of work, or unable to provide for your family, or have been rejected by your friends or even your family. Do you still believe God when he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you"? Or maybe you are constantly depressed because life has not turned out the way you wanted, or you haven't achieved the goals that you once set out for. Will you still trust God when he says neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from his love? Abraham did. Walk in faith like he did. If you are really walking by faith, what are you willing to give up? Moses was once a prince of Egypt, raised by the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He would have had an enormous amount of wealth and worldly possessions at his disposal. Yet he was willing to give that all up, throw that all away, to be likened to a Hebrew slave. In Hebrews 11, 25-26, says that Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of God as to greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Are you looking ahead to eternal life? Or are you short-sighted, looking only to eternal happiness in this life? Think back to our definition of faith once more. Christian faith is being fully convinced that God is able to do what he promises. We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith that God will fulfill his promises to us the same way he has fulfilled the promises to the Old Testament people. How do you know that God will come good on his word? We look to Jesus, as all of God's promises are fulfilled with a yes in Christ Jesus. Will there be a new heaven and earth? Yes, because Jesus died on the cross for us. Will we have eternal life with God? Yes, because Jesus died on the cross for us. Why would God go to all the trouble of sending his Son into the world on a rescue mission for us, just to abandon us right at the end? Why would Jesus sacrifice his life and be crucified for us, raised to new life with God in heaven, if there's no resurrection for us as well? Through faith we can be confident that God is faithful and he will keep his promises to us. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 and 25 is a great verse to remember. We did look at it last week, so hopefully it'll be fresh in your memories, and we'll close with this verse. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Lord, help us to trust your word. Thank you for the many examples from the Old and New Testament of the Bible that we can look to for guidance and understanding. Help us to put our faith in you. Help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are faithful. Thank you that you have promised us eternal life to those who love you. We eagerly look forward to the new heavens and the new earth and the return of Jesus as Lord and King. But until then, help us to be patient and to trust that you will keep your promises to us. Help us to continue to encourage one another and spur one another on. In Jesus' name, amen.